You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What did I do now? Small's just laughing at me.
No, I just looked up and all of us were kind of bouncing in the same light. We were in sync without knowing.
If you don't bop to this one, though.
Totally.
I mean, Bobby Brown, this is freaking classic.
With the Gumby haircut? Oh,
Bobby
yeah.
Brown with the Gumby
this is
haircut?
A very good windows down early springtime
yeah,
song.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. 1,000%.
Sorry, I'm just bobbing my head still.
There you go.
I love it. Love it. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Legs was pretty good, I guess.
He came out. He could have stayed here for a whole hour to talk about that.
He was fired up about that thing.
But he's not wrong in anything that he said. It was selfish last night. And we talked about it earlier in the show. I do think that this could be the end of the road for him with Golden State. Like, Steph Curry's reaction last night to me and watching that, it felt like I've done all I can and this is still happening and I don't know where to go from here.
There are a lot of teams that have moments and then still have legs after, I guess, no pun intended on that, have moments after the moment, but you look back and say, when did it end? Like, the Warriors went to the finals after the Kevin Durant, Draymond Green Clippers thing.
Yeah.
But that was the last moment of that team, right? New England with Brady and Belichick literally went to the playoffs the year after the Kansas City game and won a Super Bowl after the Kansas City game against the Rams. But that overtime game with New England against Kansas City, in my mind, even though they won the Super Bowl 2 weeks later, it was the last night of the Brady and Belichick era because that was the peak. That was not something going wrong, but that was the peak of it. And nothing seemed to be right after that for me. I think last night with Steph putting his face in his jersey may have been the last night of this Warriors dynasty. When we look back
still,
upon
I
it.
Still can't get past you saying the AFC Championship game was the peak when they went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a better – to me, that was the best – that was the last game that I remember, offense, defense, special teams, that was just so dynamic all across the board. The Super Bowl, the one they won 13-3.
That was a great game.
For you, as a defender,
it was quintessential Belichick, though.
No, that was a Belichick game. There's no question.
That was a good Super Bowl. Like Gronk with a big play and Julian Edelman getting MVP. That was a great Super Bowl.
Gronk proved in that Super Bowl that to me he's the greatest tight end of all time. Not only because of that, but
you can't say the AFC Championship game was the pinnacle when they went on to win the Super Bowl.
I think that was a better game for them.
You can't do that.
I just did.
It's crazy. It's a Super Bowl. There is nothing higher than that. What are you talking about?
They beat Mahomes at home. They beat Mahomes again.
He wasn't Mahomes yet.
He was pretty damn
good. They won the Super Bowl, though.
He had 50 touchdowns that year. 5-0. And they beat him at home in overtime. That, to me, was the last night I remember, and I'm thinking, oh, wow, that was amazing. But I'm just saying, last night felt like one of those things that we would look back on and say, when did Steph and Draymond specifically end? There's a million incidents with Draymond, but Steph never reacted the way he did until last night.
Yeah, I don't know that Draymond's value is going to be the same around the league as he's valued in Golden State. I think he means more to Golden State than anybody else. So if they're throwing their hands up and they're saying, we can't get this guy to regulate himself, we can't keep this guy in check, we can't keep this guy on the court because of his antics, now, I don't know that there's going to be any team out there that's willing to give up something of consequence in order to bring on Draymond Green, knowing that it's going to be a combustible situation. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's the conversation of whether or not the Warriors should put him on the market. That's going to happen this summer, and based on what Legg said, it absolutely should happen. But I don't know that there's going to be a team I don't know that teams are going to be lining up to say, hey, we'll give you the farm in order to bring Draymond on the roster, knowing that it's much more of an experiment and knowing that you don't have any proof of concept that this guy can control himself and be available when it matters the most.
But there will definitely be teams and people that look at his talent and what he's accomplished, and they'll say, well, maybe him leaving Golden State will be a wake-up call, and if we bring him here, we'll see a different version of him, or we'll see a more...
You think you're going to see a different version of this dude after choking somebody, slapping somebody, and after what we saw last night, all in the same season?
I do not personally, and I wouldn't approach it that way, but how many times in sports have we seen this where people are enamored by the talent, they're enamored by the accomplishments, and and they tend to overlook things, and their ego says, I'm going to be able to change him. But and why, it's true, sound, though.
You sound like that friend that's in a relationship that you know is going nowhere. It's like, I'm going to be able to change this person.
Okay, but...
But they never change the person.
Is that not what Steph Curry looked like last night?
Yes.
Somebody that was yes. in a toxic relationship and had gone to brunch and had the conversations with the friends.
It's always brunch with Smalls. It has brunch. To be brunch
I
related.
I live for a brunch breakdown, you know? But I looked at Steph last night, and when you're in a complicated relationship that has positives and negatives, you always want to lean on the positives and say, well, look at everything that they've done to enhance my life. Look at all the good things we've had together. And you try to work on all of the negative and or complicated aspects of that relationship. And Steph has backed up Draymond and appreciated him and empowered him in a lot of ways. But you could tell last night that he was like, you know what? In this situation, if this is going to be your reaction, and in a game that we need, you're going to put me at a deficit and put this team at a deficit. It just felt to me like you could see in his body language that he was like, I can't do much more here. I've done all that I can.
Yeah.
And the ball was in his court, and he let me down again. He let this team and this organization down again. And I could just see it in his mannerisms that it felt like he acknowledged something last night in that relationship that it probably is not going to get any better.
I think it's a great point, because I think last night was more about Steph than Draymond. I think the Nurkic and Gobert was about Draymond and the craziness of his actions. Last night it was Steph's reaction to, are you kidding me? 4 minutes into the second night of a back-to-back.
It felt like a breaking point.
With no Kuminga.
With no Kuminga.
Chasing, let me just say this so people understand. Chasing the 10 seed. A seed that when they started this run did not exist because only 8 teams made the playoffs. Chasing the 10 seed. All right, we are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. You heard the audio there about the Dallas Cowboys. So much conversation about Dak Prescott and his contract. One that was had yesterday on our show with Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, who gave her take on how Dak can return to the Cowboys after this season.
I see Dak in a Cowboys uniform beyond this year only if he wins a Super Bowl. Like, to me, it's almost like you would never see Josh Allen in this situation. You would never see any quarterback in this situation. And you've got Mike McCarthy, who's a guy, is he going to be the coach next year? I don't know. Jerry's 80-something years old, and he's just sort of like, you know, we'll see what happens. I would not take this approach with a quarterback that I believe is my guy. So that just leaves me to think, okay, y'all aren't sure.
So I don't want to go too extreme on the specifics of this, but we'll do it anyway. If the Dallas Cowboys get to the Super Bowl and lose to the Kansas City Chiefs, Jerry's not going to pay him 60? Or is he?
Yeah, he's going to pay him his money.
I'm assuming 60 is a number.
I'm just more curious about the timeline of the deal getting worked out, because I don't think the Cowboys want to entertain life without Dak Prescott, because if you're Jerry Jones, you ain't buying green bananas. Like, you're into your 80s now. Like, you know,
he's
can't
in his
take,
age 82 season. You can't 82 in
yeah,
October.
You can't take any season for granted. So the prospects of being, you know, starting over and breaking in a young quarterback on a multi-year rebuild, I don't think he has any appetite for that. So I think the Dak Prescott deal gets done over the next calendar year. It's just a matter of, does it get done in time for the season before the season starts, so it's not a looming distraction? Or do you wait until after the season and you have – you know, I guess more clear guidance on the caliber of player Dak Prescott is and just how close your team is to a title. That is all to be determined, and I think that's what makes this offseason, this summer, so fascinating for the Dallas Cowboys.
But if you think he's the guy and you know you're going to pay him, why wouldn't you have done it prior to put yourself in the best position entering free agency and entering this offseason? What's the point in waiting if you really believe that he's the guy? I can't understand the thought process here and what sort of real leverage or shift in these negotiations he thinks is going to happen moving forward. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm looking around the landscape of the NFL and I'm saying, what's my backup plan if we really roll the dice here and let's say Dak does end up somewhere else, what's my team going to be? What's the complexion of this team without him there? It's not going to be as good, that's for sure.
Well, I guess the whole point would be, if you're Jerry Jones, knowing that we're not expecting the same increase in the salary cap that we saw this year when it went up by $30 million, if you're saying to yourself, I'm going to make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in NFL history, what difference does it make if I do it now as opposed to doing it after the season?
Based on what Dan Graziano told us, it's based on those extra years, right? Those void years where you can manipulate that.
Yeah, so, he said it's more advantageous to do it after the year as opposed to before. But, I mean, again, if you're Jerry, and you know that you're going to make him the highest paid player in NFL history.
Just do it.
What do you care if there are other teams that are in the bidding? You're going to make him the highest paid player in NFL history. He's been a part of your organization. It's the only team he's ever known. Why would he then leave that situation for someplace else that was an unknown? Like, it's better to deal with the devil you know than the devil you don't. And especially knowing it's the Dallas Cowboys brand.
But maybe he's fed up with the devil he knows. Maybe he's like, you guys have had opportunity after opportunity to commit to me, and you haven't. You've put me in this position time and time again where I've had to show what I can do, bet on myself, and all of this pressure and all of the circus and the drama that comes with the star being on my helmet, I'm done with it. Maybe that's the risk that they take because they assume that everybody, including Dak Prescott, is going to want to be there because it's the Dallas Cowboys and because they're a really well-constructed team. But maybe he's like, you've pushed me too far. Maybe he's Steph Curry in the Steph Draymond situation where he's like, I understand the writing on the wall. You've shown me who you are, and I don't think it's going to work here for me, and I want to go somewhere
else. Curious, Miles, playing out this hypothetical with Dak Prescott, if the Cowboys don't get a deal done, all things being equal, meaning the money, does Dak have more pressure if he stays in Dallas, or does he have more pressure if he goes somewhere else?
Stays for sure. Stays for sure. Because it's
so if he's going to be the highest paid player in NFL history, there'll be more pressure if he stays in Dallas than if he goes somewhere else.
There's automatically more pressure with the Cowboys anyway. And if he is commanding that paycheck and they still don't break through, we're going to be... It's hard to imagine there would be more pressure on him than there is already, but I think that there would be.
Yeah, I've said all along, I don't know why he is so excited to be the Cowboys quarterback. Like, I think at some point, it's like, why do I want to do this with this team, with this organization, when I understand the talent around him, but we're not winning the way we should be winning, and I'm part of it, right?
Have you seen Cowboys quarterbacks and how they do in life?
Yeah.
Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, Tony Romo.
But he's always
I'm just saying, have you seen Cowboys quarterbacks and how they do in life relative to other quarterbacks?
I think he's going to be fine no matter where he goes at this point.
No, I'm not.
Right? I think he's always a Cowboys quarterback, isn't he?
Yeah. After this tenure.
I understand none of those guys leave, but aren't you? Like, once
and there's a reason why they don't leave.
I know.
I played for the team. There's a reason why you don't leave.
I have a list of six teams that I wrote down that I could see next year having QB openings that I would consider playing for if I'm Dak, maybe over the Dallas Cowboys. We can get to that coming up. Plus, we got to get more responses in on the... Oh, yeah, what?
Yeah, we got to get more responses in on the movies.
Oh, yeah, I was just... what? Who is the actor or wrestler that does the point?
Finger guns?
Oh, yeah.
Because he gave me...
Come on, Pat, who is that?
He gave me Pat this finger. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, it's like Shooter McGavin.
Mick Foley, that's who it is. He gave me the Mick Foley. I'm like, what are you doing at me right now?
So the movie franchise. Yeah.
We will get more of your phone calls. The one movie franchise, no matter how many they make, that you will see. So we've got Sex and the City for Smalls. We've got the Mission Impossibles for CC. And I got Bad Boys with the trailer coming out this week for Bad Boys 4. The movie franchise, no matter how many they make, that you will see. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your phone calls in and the list for Dak coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, we're going to get your phone calls in with some of the new movies coming out here. We got Bad Boys 4 coming out in June, and there's all kinds of conversation about Happy Gilmore 2. So we're asking you guys today at 888-SAY-ESPN and UnsportsESPN on social, the movie franchise you'll see as many as possible, no matter how many they make. So we're talking about Dak also. Quickly, I came up with a list of six teams, guys, that I could see having quarterback openings after this season that would tempt me if I'm Dak Prescott, if I actually hit unrestricted free agency.
All right.
All right, ready for this six? Here we go. The Miami Dolphins.
Mm.
Ooh.
We know that they've talked about the idea of extending Tua. All of us have said, why? Why don't you just take it year by year, especially when you have franchise capabilities with him? I would be intrigued by that if I'm Dak.
You think the Dolphins are closer to a championship than the Cowboys?
I think that I would like living in Miami if I'm him, and I would like not being with the Dallas Cowboys to some extent if this is how it's going to be.
Mike McDaniel.
A lot
of weapons there.
Waddle and Hill. Just throwing that out there.
You're basically going for the money in the weather. You're not going to win a championship. In the AFC? Nah.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay.
All right. Pittsburgh. I know it's crazy because everybody's like, oh, they have two quarterbacks they just brought in, but it's not unrealistic to think that they have an opening at that position after the season.
Doesn't feel like a Pittsburgh move, though, to go out there and spend $60 million a year on a quarterback.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
I could see why he would be interested.
Yeah,
in
I get that part of it. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah.
This is going to be really interesting. Small, it's just you and I talking for a second. Let's see how CC fights this one off. Vegas.
What do you mean, how do I fight? I'm not going to fight that off. I love that move. I love that move. My guy, Antonio Pierce, getting Dak Prescott as his quarterback.
I'm saying I'd rather
that
potentially.
That would be awesome.
Think of the quarterbacks in that division.
Yeah, that would be great.
You want to talk about marketability? I'm in Vegas. I'm in. Brady's going to have a piece by then. I've got Devontae Adams. Antonio Pierce is a coach that he may want to play for. Fun, rah-rah kind of guy.
Another state where there's no state income tax.
Okay, so there
ding,
you go.
Ding, ding.
Let me get that.
All right, this one, I think he would go potentially with a new coach. Let's call him, I don't know, Belichick. New Orleans. I could see them having an opening after the season.
I don't hate it. I mean, he's, you know, played his ball in the Gulf South. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I just... I don't hate it. I don't know that New Orleans puts him closer to winning, though. Like, I get why New Orleans would want it. I don't know why Dak would want it.
All right. Two more quickly. Seattle.
That's a good one.
Good young defense.
Love that defense.
Division that is kind of going to be altering here a little bit. CC thinks
shifting
that the window
landscape
is closing on San Francisco a little bit. Let's see what happens with the Rams.
I think he'd be the best quarterback in that division.
All right, that's so we're talking.
Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford might not be even be around.
Well,
after
that's the last one.
So I mean,
that's the last
the Rams.
One.
I mean, the Rams. That would be another one
because that would be out of Matthew Stafford retiring after this upcoming season. Hypothetically, you have Sean McVay. You have good young talent with Nacua there, and obviously
Cooper
again,
Cup, yeah.
And it's a place that's won
and marketable,
and it's
right?
LA, yeah.
My point in all of this...
That's spicy.
My point in all of this is I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are as attractive to Dak Prescott as everyone makes them out to be, and that if I'm him, if I don't have the contract that I want after this season, I know that there are going to be teams out there that are going to want me.
See, what makes the Cowboys attractive, though, is it's the brand, but it's also the talent that's on the team. Like, that's the part that we can't gloss over. It's routinely one of the best offensive lines. They've got CeeDee Lamb, who's an all-pro receiver. I mean, they've got Micah Parsons, the best defensive player in football. They've got Trey Diggs and Deron Bland. Both guys have been in the conversation for defensive player of the year in consecutive years. I mean, you have a lot of talent on that team. Will McClay does a great job of assembling talent. Talent is not the problem in Dallas. The problem in Dallas has been the culture, and the owner can't get out of his own way. And a part of how they've handled Dak Prescott negotiations presently and in the past, how they've handled their head coaches presently and in the past, has led to a level of dysfunction that's hard for the talent on the field to overcome. Mm-hmm. And until they do something about changing the culture and allowing the head coach and the quarterback to set the agenda for the team as opposed to the owner always meddling, I think it's going to be more of the same in terms of the results in the postseason.
Which is why I'd be attracted to another opportunity if it was there for me.
It's a catch-22, though. Like, you can say it's another opportunity, but it might be a lesser team from a talent standpoint that doesn't allow you to at least entertain the possibility of being a consistent double-digit winning team, be a team that has the talent to go on a deep playoff run. Like, give me talent and I'll figure it out. That's what Bill Parcells used to always say. The Dallas Cowboys have the talent. It's the intangible part of it that eludes them. They can't figure it out. And a part of letting this Dak Prescott conversation loom over the offseason leaves me skeptical about what the Cowboys are going to do that's going to lead to a different result once we get to the playoffs in 2024.
But as you're going through this, I'm thinking about it from both sides, and I've come to the place where both sides might not be enamored of the idea with the future with one another. If I'm Dak and I'm looking at all the talent around me, yet I know because the owner is setting that culture and that agenda that if I feel like because of all of that chaos and drama, I'm never going to be able to break through despite the talent and the fact that he wants to ride this out with me, maybe I do think I'll have success elsewhere. And if I'm Jerry Jones, I am looking at Dak and I'm saying, I have put so much talent out on the field and it's up to the quarterback and the head coach to set the culture and to make those intangibles pop. And if he hasn't done it yet and he can't break through in the postseason, then why would I want to pay him $60 million?
Well, here's the thing that's a head scratcher to me though, Smalls, because I mean, it's not just Dak Prescott that we're talking about. It's Tony Romo too. Like, Tony Romo was another quarterback that played at an all-pro level, and they couldn't break through. They couldn't get past the second round. So my question is, at what point do you realize, if you're Jerry Jones, there's something off with the way I'm doing business and how that is to the detriment of my overall team success? Like, think about it. Like, Jerry Jones had supremely talented teams with Tony Romo. I was on that 2017. If you were a starter on that team, you were a Pro Bowler or a Pro Bowl alternate. They had 13 damn Pro Bowlers. Like, it was a good team. And we were one and done in the divisional round of the playoffs. Mm. Hosting a team that we had smoked twice in the regular season, the New York Giants. They went on to win a championship. You can't beat them, join them. That's why I left. But that's neither here nor there. But you had supremely talented teams under Tony Romo. You've had supremely talented teams with Dak Prescott. At some point, you got to acknowledge it's not the quarterback. Like, you've changed quarterbacks. You found lightning in a bottle twice when it comes to quarterbacks. Tony Romo, undrafted. Dak Prescott, fourth round pick. You don't usually find franchise quarterbacks like that in the National Football League. You've done it not once, but twice. At some point, you got to acknowledge it's not the quarterback. That's not why this team has had a ceiling. It's the culture, and that starts at the top with the owner.
But do we think going into his age 82 season, because he'll be 82 in October, that all of a sudden Jerry Jones is going to have that self-awareness and that revelation that maybe he's the problem?
No, you're right. I'm just talking into the wind. You're right. You're right. No,
you're right, but he's not going to realize
he's
that.
He's not
going
to change. He's not going to change.
Victor in New York, listening on ESPN Ithaca. What's up, Victor?
What's going on? Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I would take probably the Fast and the Furious franchise, and that's because we're just so locked into it at this point. It's been so long.
They've actually proven the concept, right? They've made so many movies that people have seen that they've actually tested the concept of unlimited movies within a franchise, just assuming that everybody will see them. Pat Costello, our producer, how many of the Fast and the Furious movies are there, and how many have you seen?
11, and I've seen all of them. I just watched Tokyo Drift last night. It's amazing.
And if they were to get to, I don't know, let's just say like, I don't know, like 21. If they were to get to 21, would you watch all of them?
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah, they're testing this concept.
They rule.
What's so good about them, Pat, that you say they rule?
It's just mindless entertainment. Like, you don't have to think hard. There's no plot that you have to really care all that much about. It's just fun.
So it's the same plot.
It's just fun.
Across 11 movies, it's the same plot. That's why you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great.
Because we're driving? I mean, I don't know.
We're basically family. In to see what CGI and the stunts can do.
Okay.
The new innovations, the CGI and stunts.
That's Derek in Sacramento listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, guys? Thank y'all for taking my call. I'm going all in. Die Hard. You can give me 82 Die Hards. You can roll them out there in the wheelchair. I'm watching every last one of them.
That's an interesting one. I mean, they've made a bunch of them, and we've all kind of watched them.
I feel like the peak of Die Hard was Die Hard with a Vengeance with Sam Jackson. Once you get Sam Jackson and Bruce Willis together, it can't get better than that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, kind of topped out for me at that one.
I don't know, because that could be their AFC Championship game, and you could go on to win
the
Super Bowl.
That's a great point. You know what, Paul? You're right. You're right.
You're right, the Patriots.
That was the peak.
It was. Jay in Port St. Lucie, listening on ESPN 106.3. What's up, Jay?
Hey, I love y'all guys. CeCe, Smalls, Evans, y'all bring great content. I wait for y'all in the morning, so y'all keep it going. But I'm gonna go with Planet of the Apes, 1970, all the way until this year. Planet of the Apes.
Aren't they coming out with a new Planet of the Apes, Jay?
Coming out May 10th. Come on now.
Oh, he knows the exact date.
May 10th.
Well done. You came prepared. Good job, I like it. Jay. Yeah. How many Planet of the Apes movies are there? I didn't realize there were that many.
There's a gang of them now. There's a gang of them. I mean, when they recreated the franchise a few years ago, I think they've got four installments of that. But, I mean, you're talking about going back to the 60s with Planet of the Apes movies.
What about the Bond movies? Is there ever a point where the Bond movies can run out for you?
No.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
I love the Bond movies, but I don't like the recent James Bond. Daniel Craig, it just doesn't do it for me with Bond. Now, the new Bonds that they're floating out there, I would love Theo James as the next James Bond.
Me too.
He would be outstanding. Like, he was great on
Big fan.
He was great on the Netflix series, The Gentlemen. If you hadn't seen it, check it out. It's pretty good. White Lotus he was great in. I mean, it feels like that was like the test balloon, though, his role in The Gentlemen for the James Bond film franchise. But yeah, Theo James is the next James Bond. That would be dope.
I think he's in a movie with Nuno's ex, Emily Ratajkowski, if I'm not mistaken. Ratajkowski. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Nuno, obviously, you know, they were
dating.
You
mean Small's Neighbor?
Yeah, they were dating for a while, and Nuno's like, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to move on to the next person in my life.
I really dropped the ball not telling her that Nuno said what's up.
Yeah, you blocked Nuno on that one.
And he's wearing muscle shirts these days.
That's true.
I mean, he's ready for it.
I should have just a screenshot of what he wore yesterday, so if I see her again, I could be like, this is Nuno. He says what's up.
Muscle shirt, huh? We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Time now for a round of Respect It or Check It here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Can I ask one quick question before Respect It or Check It? Do you realize how many times we've talked about Major League Baseball starting today? We've talked about Ohtani and everything. I don't think we've mentioned Mike Trout's name one time.
And we won't.
Okay. Kevin Durant will win another title in his career. Respect it or check it.
Oh, I thought I was doing this, Evan. You're trying to steal my job over here?
I like it. You were so cold-blooded with that Mike Trout thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it. Dead serious. I love it.
Do you think the Angels are going to be any good this year?
No.
Why would we talk about Mike Trout?
Okay,
he doesn't want us to talk about it.
I know. So okay, you asked the question.
Yeah, he's got Stockholm syndrome with the Angels right now.
What's up?
He's got Stockholm syndrome with the Angels right now.
He must really love Anaheim.
He likes being held hostage. He likes it.
I've never been there, but it must be a great place to live. Then why does he want to stay there?
I don't know.
All right, respect it or check it. Kevin Durant will win another title in his career.
Check it. He's not winning another title. I mean, if they don't get it done this year, it's not going to happen. And next year, he's going into his age 36 season. I mean, we do the same thing with quarterbacks in the NFL trying to assign Tom Brady-like longevity to him. And we're seeing now it doesn't work out. Ask Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be like that for Kevin Durant. Like, once players get into their latter 30s and early 40s, they are not the same. And for whatever reason, this Phoenix Suns team can't figure it out. And Kevin Durant, with Devin Booker around him, with Bradley Beal around him, feel like they're poised to have an early exit from the playoffs if they even make it there at all. So I got to check it. Ain't going to happen for KD, not at this point in his career.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to respect it, just not in the role that he's in or with the team he's on right now. I think he goes to another team at some point and he's in a little bit of a different role, more of a complimentary role than the star role, and he does win another title. I just don't see it in Phoenix.
So he can't win a championship as the best player on the team?
At this – well – he was the best player on the Warriors, but it wasn't his team. So it's a little bit of a semantics thing. But to what I know how you feel about this, so yes, based on what, the way you feel, because your example has always been, which I like, LeBron went to Miami basketball school, took that with him, created his own version of it, proved it can work in Cleveland and LA. No on that relative to KD.
Next one, respect it or check it, Draymond Green will be on the Warriors next year.
If you asked this question yesterday during our show, I would have said yes. Today, I'm going to live in the moment and say no. I think he did something last night in getting tossed 4 minutes into the game that got Steph Curry to a point of such frustration that I think that conversations are now open this offseason, and I think it's probably best for everybody, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm going to respect it. I think conversations will happen about Draymond's future, but I think ultimately that will settle on him being back in Golden State because he means more to them than he could mean to any other team.
I hope you're right.
Just in terms of the role that he plays for them, like, it's just, you can't really quantify what Draymond Green means, not only for the Warriors, but also for Steph Curry. Like, he's Steph Curry's personal bodyguard. Like we see that now. And a part of what makes Draymond great at that job is the edge that he plays with. And more often than not, in recent years, he's gone over that edge. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see the Warriors giving up on that, especially knowing that the rest of the league is watching what's happening with Draymond Green. And the Warriors are not going to get close to equal value when they decide, or if they decided to try to actually move him. So I think by default, he ends up back in Golden State just because they're not going to be able to fetch something that would be close to representing Draymond's true value to that franchise.
It's baseball opening day. Respect it or check it. The Dodgers season, even though they played in the Seoul Series, will be considered a failure without a title.
Of course. Respect it.
Yeah, respect it.
Is that a debate?
I don't think that's even... That's not a hot take.
I mean,
it?
Buster Olney has said that the manager of the Dodgers, Dave Roberts, if they don't win a championship, is going to be on the hot seat and maybe out. That's all I need to know.
When has Dave Roberts not been on the hot seat, though?
The day he won the World Series.
Like,
but not before. Not after.
And not after, right? No. Like the day after the World Series. Yeah. And then after, 48 hours after winning the World Series. Oh, it was a COVID championship. Yeah. Doesn't really matter. Of course, it's going to be considered a failure, and the manager's going to pay the price for it. Anytime you spend over $1 billion in acquiring players, it's going to be a problem. They just extended Will Smith. Like, they've paid a lot of guys.
Ooh, a lot of guys.
A lot of guys. A lot of money. So, yeah, there's absolutely pressure on them to get it done. I think this is, what, the second team in Major League Baseball history to dole out 3 9-figure contracts in the same offseason? Yeah, I'm just saying. Didn't work out for the Padres when they did that. Yeah, hope it works out for the Dodgers.
Next one, respect it or check it. This NCAA tournament is less interesting with less Cinderellas.
I check it. I think what we're going to have the next 2 days, specifically with the round of the Sweet 16, competitive, intense, good matchups that we're all going to be into, and there's going to be no teams that were like, really, this team is there? How in the world did this happen? I think you're going to see high-level competition. I'm in on it.
Yeah, I'm in on this too. Like, I'm excited about it. I mean, seeing the best teams on the biggest stages and teams that we know, right? Like, we saw the matchup between San Diego State and UConn in the finals last year. Like, we know what Duke is bringing to the table. We know Houston and Kelvin Sampson and Jabal Shedd. Like, we know those players. DJ Burns, I guess, would be the one player that's new on the scene. NC State, somewhat of a Cinderella. Somewhat of a Cinderella. We didn't anticipate them going on this kind of run. But I actually like having the Blue Blood programs be in the Sweet 16. I actually love that, having this stage front and center for the entire country to be locked in on.
I wish there were more Cinderellas, but that's just me. I love an underdog. Respect it or check it.
You just love the glass slipper. That's all it is. Just call it what it is.
Yeah, why not?
I love the glass slipper.
Why not? Respect it or check it. Hot dogs are the best stadium foods.
Respect it, but I also could understand soft serve ice cream and hot pretzels in there as well. The soft serve ice cream, like in the little mini helmets,
are great. Those are great.
That's great. Why are you giving me a look?
Well, because then you have to eat it quickly or else it's going to melt.
Yeah. How else do you eat ice cream?
I know, but when you're at home, it's a little different than when you're at the stadium that you're
quickly.
Sticky. You know what I mean?
No, I'm good on it, on hot dogs. Yeah, that's fine. I'll eat any stadium food that I would normally eat. If I go to a stadium, I'll eat it there. I'm not scared off by stadium food. I'm not
scared off by stadium food. I'm not a big hot dog guy, though.
Do you like brats?
I like brats. I like the Italian sausages.
Yeah.
Like the Italian sausage, Italian beef thing. Like, I'll go that route over the hot dog. So I'm going to say, check it. I don't think hot dogs are the best stadium food. Like, if I'm going to a game, if I'm going to an NFL game, going to a basketball game, baseball game, I like, actually, I'm in on this. This is going to be weird. The personal pizza.
Oh, really?
I like the personal pizza.
How much? Huh? How much is it normally? Like $14 for the personal
pizza? I have no idea, but when they have the personal pizza, I'm on board with the personal pizza.
By the way, just you and I talking, it's not enough.
It's not, but
it's not enough food.
Yeah,
it's not,
that's why I was
but
surprised.
It's, but it's good, though. I'm in on the personal pizza.
Gets us going.
Yeah,
I guess it's through the first three innings.
It's going, yeah, exactly.
First quarter, maybe.
You know, I love a hot dog at a baseball game, an ice cold Bud Light. Like, that's great for me. But I can't pick that over nachos, like a pulled pork nacho situation,
oh,
or
so
chicken
good.
Tenders.
Chicken tenders is
with
elite.
The fries chicken and the multiple is, condiments.
And it's easy to eat, too.
Totally.
Chicken tenders is easy to eat. Yeah,
get a little ranch, a little honey mustard, a little ketchup.
One.
Can we
exactly.
skip the next question? Because I think Pat Costello got in there and rigged this for Fast and the Furious. Because the last one, he wants us to do Fast and the Furious greatest movie franchise. No,
skip it.
Sorry, Pat. Next one, Smalls.
We check
it. Because it is? It's just unanimously agree it is.
No,
all right, you're right.
No.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Respect it or check it. Caitlin Clark should accept the Big Three's offer of $5 million.
Oh, check it. No. I mean, Caitlin Clark has been out there front and center and saying she wants to grow the women's game and she wants to inspire little girls and people out there across America. Like, I love the fact that she is so committed to growing the women's game. I don't think it would be on brand for her to accept the Big Three's offer and seemingly shun the WNBA. Because
right.
she's poised to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She might as well go ahead and look for real estate in Indianapolis because she's going to be drafted by the Fever. So, I mean, I couldn't see her spurning the WNBA and going with the Big Three. I don't know. It just feels like that would be beneath her.
Yeah.
I probably am checking this, but I've thought about this a bunch since this came out yesterday, that Ice Cube made this offer. So $5 million offer. WNBA first year salary is $75,000. She could make up to $100,000 in salary from the WNBA and up to $500,000 with WNBA related endorsements. That's it. That's a lot of money in real life, but for somebody as famous and popular as her, that's not a lot. She has to get major endorsement deals elsewhere. She will never make $5 million playing basketball. Can she do both at the same time has become the question. But even if she does, I think there would be an unintended consequence. I think those who are, chauvinist, would look at this and say, see, women aren't good at basketball because they're not. She's not playing well against 6'10", 250-pound strong men that are bigger and stronger than she is, and they would use it to demean women, which I don't think is right in any way, shape, or form. I wish there was a way that she could get this in a women's-only Big Three.
Well, I mean, a lot of the endorsement deals that she has right now, she'll probably be carrying over to the WNBA. And On Three says that her NIL valuation is at $3 million already.
Well, but that's the other interesting thing. She technically has another year of eligibility. Another school would pay her probably millions of dollars to go and play for that school right now.
Oh.
She will never do that. But again, that's the problem. We got to get the increase in dollars in the WNBA.
It's going to happen. It's on its way to doing that, and Caitlin Clark is going to be a big part of that.
I was going to say that.
Like, the offer that Ice Cube and the Big Three made, to me, that's just clout chasing. That is classic clout chasing, knowing that she's probably not going to accept it anyway, but just putting it out there.
Because now we're all talking about it.
Yeah, exactly, because we're talking about the Big Three at a time when we otherwise wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think you just made a statement, though, CeCe, that I think that if she's committed to the women's game as she is, what's going to happen is she's going to raise everything.
Big
she's going to raise the salaries, the endorsements, and we're going to see the equality in that game based on total revenue coming in, going back to the players, the 51% or whatever it is for the basketball-related income, that I think is going to be great, and it's going to increase thanks to Caitlin Clark. Coming up, CeCe has his best bet of the night, plus unsportsmanlike moments next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
Last night, our play of the night went bust in the NBA because Jusuf Nurkić didn't play. Like, Nurkic didn't play. I had him over 9.5 rebounds. He didn't play, so it's hard to get over 9.5 rebounds. Although my read on the Suns was right. They got embarrassed by the Spurs. They were due to have a bounce back in a big spot against the Denver Nuggets. So congratulations to Kevin Durant and company. But I owe you,
I feel genuine,
our loyal listeners, our audience, I got to give you a winner. And so I feel like I've got a winner tonight. We're going to get chalky with the round of 16 tipping off in the NCAA tournament. So we're going to go with North Carolina laying a 4.5 over Alabama, and we're going to roll with UConn laying 11.5 over San Diego State, a rematch of last year's title game.
Yep.
So we're getting real chalky going UConn laying 11.5, North Carolina laying 4.5. That pays out, that two-leg parlay, at plus 273.
Before we get to unsportsmanlike moments, it's very important. The world is wondering Michelle Spallman's sleep schedule today.
So stressed out about it.
Your game starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, I think. So it's 10:09 p.m. Eastern time, Illinois, your school, against Iowa State, which means starting time 10:30, your baseball game today with the Cardinals and the Dodgers, 4 p.m. Eastern. Give us your breakdown of how you're going to handle this today. Not easy.
And I have to work out twice today because I'm still doing 75 hard. So after the show, going to go to workout number one. We're going to go home, eat lunch, try to get a nap in. I'm going to watch the beginning of the game and see all the pageantry from the comfort of my apartment. Then I'm going to do workout number two, which is usually a walk outside while I'm watching the Cardinals-Dodgers game on my phone on YouTube TV. Then I'm going to come home, eat dinner, maybe have like one sip of a caffeinated beverage and try to stay up to watch the Illinois-Iowa State game.
Oh, you're not going to do the 7P to 10P nap?
I'm going to try to nap after my first workout.
Oh, that's going to be a terrible
Because
fail.
If I go to bed at 7, I'm not waking up at 10.
That's a great point.
There is no way I'm getting up at 10:10.
But here's the great thing. It's Thursday. That means weekend's eve. You can thug it out tomorrow. If you don't get a lot of sleep tonight, you can thug it out. Hopefully Illinois will make it worth it by being able to get a win over Iowa State tonight, but you can thug it out on a Friday.
You're right, but heads up to everybody. If Illinois and the Cardinals lose today and I have no sleep on a Friday, your girl's going to be in a mood tomorrow.
Salty Smalls.
Heads up.
All right, time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day, which could be that tomorrow, by the way.
Could be that tomorrow.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, well, we know now that Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's son, is the defensive coordinator for my Washington Huskies team. I said my.
I was just going to say, you've jumped on that bandwagon?
Well, my friend, Pat Chun, is the new AD there, so now okay. I'm all in. And by that, I mean, where's my gear, Pat? You've been there a day. Anyway, so Steve Belichick is the defensive coordinator. And I guess they were meeting with the media, and he was asked about his dad. That guy is Bill Belichick. Take a listen.
No, man, we definitely have similarities. I got a job, and he doesn't.
He said about his dad, we have similarities, but I have a job. He doesn't.
That was the differences between he and his father.
That's nice.
That tells me his dad is actually not that upset about not being a head coach right now. I think I'm more upset for Bill Belichick than he is for himself.
Right?
Well, he went out unceremoniously, though, right? I mean, 4-13 season, they clipped him. And you question whether or not there was some internal strife, knowing that the succession plan was in place for Jerod Mayo. So I guess the way he went out and not having more fanfare around it is probably the most disappointing part, which is why you feel bad for Bill Belichick.
Well, it's also like, I don't want to put the divide between Belichick and Mayo because forever Mayo was his guy. But the moment that Mayo is getting the knocking on the door from the other teams, hey, we want you, and Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, steps in and says, let's create the succession plan, Belichick wasn't the one who created the succession plan. So even if it's your guy or gal and you're not part of that, that's a weird dynamic for anyone.
Yes, I just love the idea of you agonizing over Bill Belichick not having a job and him like drinking a mimosa on his boat, having like the time of his
he
life.
Seems fine.
And you're stressed out about it.
About six rings?
Yeah.
Six rings?
Yeah. You know, can't you just see him like enjoying his time off, having a good time? His son's obviously making a little jet, like having some fun with this. Yeah. And Evan is stressed out, thinking about which team should hire him.
Are we going to see Belichick again?
I do not think so.
I think it's a wrap. I think it's over, too.
I think it's over. After watching Dynasty and having all of his former players outline how difficult it was to go through the Patriots experience because of the way Bill Belichick runs a team, that's a lot that you have to invest in him and give him the reins to do that. It's a different athlete. It's a different type of landscape. And I see you itching over there to jump in.
I'm going to tell you why. I totally disagree, and initially I thought you were right about that. I think this is now the best thing that's happened to him, because all that's happened since are all of his former players doing interviews to say, that is not how I feel. That was about a specific moment, specific question. And everyone's now coming to his defense, which you when you were sick, watched all 10 of them.
I did.
And got you more sick as a result, watching all of it, I think.
I just wanted more info.
But the you were so right in your takeaway, but I think everybody's now coming to his defense.
They are.
Except
but,
for his son. Seems
but
to
it's
be
still
riding,
a reality in bringing Bill Belichick into your organization that you're going to have to give a certain amount of power to him, and he's going to run a tight ship. And are the players that you have in the building or the people that he's going to bring into the building really wanting to commit to that type of a lifestyle and that approach to football? I don't know.
All right. I just think the dichotomy Bill Belichick centered around Tom Brady is fascinating. Like the single greatest example of his coaching acumen, but also the single greatest example of his coaching failure.
Yes.
Right? Think about it. Like this is a guy that developed the greatest quarterback of all time, and this is a guy that decided to show him the door a year or two too early.
And wanted to do it before that.
Exactly.
Last one, which I'm not sure is an unsportsmanlike moment, which is why I wanted to bring it to the group here.
Okay.
So the Philadelphia 76ers lost last night, 108-107. Clippers beat the Sixers. Bad call at the end. Kelly Oubre of the Sixers had what to say to every referee. That's not the unsportsmanlike moment. But James Harden, I mean, it is, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
James Harden, former Sixer, was booed every single time he touched the ball. He spoke last night to Katie George, and here's what he had to say.
So much was made about your return here to Philly. Did you receive the welcome you expected?
These fans are what they are. You know, for the year and a half I was here, I had some really good moments here. But for somebody to sacrifice as much as I did, I don't even want to get into it. But it is what it is. They're great fans, and you heard it tonight.
Did he sacrifice that much? Like,
just because he didn't take the max? Hey, newsflash, James. You weren't a max-level player.
What sacrifice Relax. Are we talking about here? Greeny, coming up next. We are on to Friday, which could be an ugly one for Smalls. We'll find out. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.